You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
This is The Conversation. My name is Adam. I hope this finds you well. I hope it's been a great day. I hope it's been truly a fantastic week here on this end. I am thankful for so much. Life is good. I have nothing to complain about it. In addition, I do not preach this coming Sunday. And for any of you who are pastors, you know what a big deal that is. But I'm excited that you are tuning in today. I just want to let you know about something that's made a huge impact on me. This is not an ad. I'm not being paid anything to say this. An app I was told about from a friend of mine named Ken Costa. He's been on the podcast before. I love Ken. He spoke with our staff a couple of weeks back at Embrace here, but he told us about this brand new app called Glorify. If you search it on the app store, it's Glorify : Daily Worship. Go download that for free. That has been one of the greatest life-giving things in my relationship with God this past week. And so I want to encourage you, again, I don't get anything for this, go download the Glorify app. What I do each day is I wake up and I click on the app, and there's a passage, a devotional, and a reflection that you can click. And you can click it, and then you push the button that says listen, and it just talks to you. And it is like the most refreshing, wonderful, relaxing thing. So go check that out. Today, though, in today's conversation, I sat down with somebody that I have wanted to connect with for a long, long time. His name is Mac Brock. He is a longtime worship leader, most widely known as the worship leader formerly at Elevation Church. A lot of the songs that your churches sing, that maybe you sing in your car, are songs that Mac wrote. And so he's been somebody that I've looked up to for years. I brag on him in the conversation. You'll hear me do that. But Mac and I, we just had an honest conversation. And he kind of talked about some of the trials that he's walked through and what it looks like to step away from something, like kind of take that huge step of faith. We also talked about comparison. Also, we had our worship leader here at Embrace, Tyson Brockle, joined us. I knew Tyson was a huge fan of Mac's. And so I said, hey, Tyson, you should come join us. And so he asked a question about worship. And something that I think will connect with a lot of the worship leaders out there as well. I could say so much. As always, though, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation.
Well, I'm here with a person that I've looked up to for many years, and I don't say that lightly. Somebody that I've only had the chance to know from afar through his music and through his words, and just as one of the people that I look to when it comes to worship in general. And I can honestly say that I've sang with this guy, not in person, but in my car, several times when I've gone through seasons where I felt like giving up. And so it's a huge honor today to have Mac Brock with us. Mac, I just want to welcome you to the podcast today.
Hey, thanks so much, Adam. So good to hang and chat with you guys today.
Yeah, so Mac, I want to start just by jumping into really your story. I think it's always fascinating to kind of hear where a person comes from. So even if you want to, the nerd in me is curious, hometown, your parents, how you came to Christ, how you got to worship. If you just want to jump in, and I'll pepper the questions in between.
Yeah, well, I'll make it quick. I grew up in South Carolina, in Columbia. My dad is a pastor, Southern Baptist pastor. So that was kind of the world that I grew up in. And my mom's a musician. She's a drummer, really good drummer at that. And she still plays every weekend at my dad's church, which is awesome. And so I think, you know, through her, I got into music and started, you know, playing guitar and all that stuff early on, and then played in the youth band and youth ministry, and in high school started actually back then we would say it was singing solos, you know, for for church. And that's, you know, that's kind of just how I got into music, and eventually what led into worship. Just from there, went to college, wasn't pursuing worship ministry, wasn't pursuing wanting to be a worship leader. But worship was always kind of a part of my life. It was just always kind of something that was, you know, at least in the sidelines of like whatever I was doing, I was still kind of like leading worship here and there, and eventually led to, you know, coming on staff at Elevation Church early on and helping build or kind of like start building the worship team there. And I've been leading worship ever since.
With worship, so just began to feel like it was something that was coming to the surface. Was the step to go on staff at a church something you expected or really wanted to happen, or just kind of happened?
I did not want it to happen. it was something, you know, yeah, I always like liked worship and I liked leading, but it was something that I never really wanted to do. I didn't want to get into ministry, and it wasn't out of, you know, I wasn't trying to be like, working at church sucks or anything like that. It just kind of wasn't really what I wanted to do. Thankfully, the Lord still gave me opportunities to do it, you know? And even if, you know, I tell people, like, even though maybe my heart wasn't like fully there, like he still allowed me the chance to still lead and to still just even, you know, come on staff at a church, even if I wasn't fully there in my like spirit of like, this is what I want to do with my life. And eventually I caught up to God's calling. Like eventually, like my heart, the work that he did in me, you know, in my mid 20s, like caught me up to just like what I feel like he's called me to and anointed me to do and appointed me to do. And that was quite a journey, but there's a lot of grace over my life and a lot of just like patience with the Lord, you know, walking me through that process.
Yeah. Mac, before we kind of talk worship, where did your wife come into play and kids and that part of things? Share that part of your story as well.
Yeah, so my wife, she's amazing. Her name's Meredith. We met, she grew up in Idaho. And when she was a senior in high school, she became she came to know Christ and decided, this is so random, but met a couple at a Young Life camp, and they were like, hey, you should come live with us in Alaska for a summer. And so she went to Alaska for the summer, and the summer turned into 6 years. She stayed in Alaska and kind of like, you know, learned about what it was like to, you know, be a follower of Jesus. And she came to South Carolina for school. She hated it. She did not want to be there. She tried to get out of there, but none of her credits would transfer. So she was kind of like stuck in South Carolina for a bit. And I met her last semester in school, convinced her that the South is the best place to live. You know, you don't want to deal with that cold weather your whole life. And so she, you know, she came down, she stayed in South Carolina. We got married. And then about a year into our marriage, we moved up to Charlotte. And then we've got two kids, my son Harvey, who's 9, and then we have a little girl, Cyrus, who's about to turn 6.
Okay, crazy. And your wife like is involved with Proverbs 31, right?
Yes, my wife freaking rules. Yeah. Like, she is so awesome. She works at Proverbs 31. She's on the exec team for that ministry, but then she's got her hands in so many other things. She's also a literary agent, and so she represents a lot of authors. And she just recently launched with Lisa Turkhurst. Basically, it's like a line of books under the HarperCollins brand that they kind of can train up authors. And Lisa has this whole program called Compel that helps writers just kind of tighten up their idea and help like, here's how you can like turn your idea into like an actual book. And so her and Meredith are, yeah, building almost like it's like a training ground for people that want to write and people that want to get, you know, what the Lord has put on their heart out in like a fully formed way.
That's insane. So full disclosure, I actually had heard about that, but I didn't realize it was your wife.
Yes.
You are.
That's
you are,
her, man.
You are in fact married to a rock star.
Oh, she very much is, way more than me.
Well, Lisa is I can't say enough about Lisa. She came and spoke during her hardest season of life, you know, just what she was walking through. At that time, it wasn't public yet, and I can remember or we sat down in a podcast. So this is nothing private. I mean, she shared it on a podcast, but I can remember asking her, like, how does it feel to be in one of like this amazing season that you're in? I mean, she was a New York Times bestseller for like the 30th time in a row, it felt like.
Right.
And she said, this has actually been the hardest season of my life.
Wow.
And I couldn't fathom. I'm like, it almost felt like at the time, I'm like, oh, sure. Yeah, it's a rough season. You're a New York Times bestseller.
Right.
It turned out like, no, actually, this is the hardest season I've been in.
And the Turkers, they're such a special family to us, but Lisa in particular is such a transparent person. And she's so, I don't know, she does such a good job at realizing like everybody's got stuff that they're going through. And it's so easy for people in the spotlight or leaders, quote unquote, to feel like we've always got to be coming from a place of like victory or a place like we're on the mountaintop. And here's how you can meet us on the mountaintop. Like, that's just like a natural instinct, I think, of leaders is like to feel like we have to at least put on a show that we've got it all together. And Lisa, man, she is not afraid to say like, I'm in a valley right now and I'm not going to wait until I'm out of the valley to tell you what the process is like. I'm going to be in it. And I don't know what the outcome is, but here's what I'm going through. And this is how I'm processing it. And I think it's so helpful for just normal. I mean, it's so helpful for anybody to hear that, you know, because we're all walking through something. And so we love Lisa, love the Turkers. They're such special people.
Yeah. Thanks for just even bragging on her. It's so awesome to hear people brag on each other. Well, Mac, so your time at Elevation, you know, there's so many elements of what makes Elevation Elevation, but the place I'd love to talk about is just like what God did through you specifically, not even Elevation Worship. Like if you kind of look back at that time of when you came on and then from when you came to when you left, is there certain things that could, like for just worship leaders in general or churches in general, that you just felt like God really honored or blessed even in you? Like, is there anything? Just being a part of that, again, we could talk about all kinds of different elements, creating all this stuff, but like just in your life, was there feel like during that time, was there things that you're just like, God just got behind this because I think we did this, or I like just to share about that. And that might be an awkward question to talk about yourself, but just to kind of focus on part of things.
Yeah. I don't know. I can say that just, you know, what the Lord did in my life, you know, during that season, that, you know, I was at Elevation for 10 years. And so that's like a long, you know, talk about a season. That's a decade long season. But it, you know, during those years, man, the Lord like shaped me in so many ways. It's during that season that I felt truly that transition of like, I'm just leading worship because it's something that I do, to like stepping into like, this is a calling. And this is me aligning myself with what God has placed on my life to do this. It became more than just like a thing to do, to be, it became like the reason why I am, you know, the reason why I'm like here. And so that was, you know, that was like such a special thing. But I don't know, one of the biggest things just that I learned through that season that's even like translated into my whole life now is just the power of worshiping God. In the power of like speaking out loud who God is, speaking out loud are the things that we're bringing to Him, the things that we are asking of Him, but also just speaking out loud, acknowledging His greatness, His goodness, and all that stuff. And just seeing like the power in that, and seeing that like, man, worship is so far beyond just like a song. It's so far beyond even, you know, a moment before a sermon. But it's just a posture of exalting God. And when we do that, man, we can receive so much at the same time. You know, worship isn't about receiving, but that's one of the, God is so kind. Like, it's so awesome that like, that the Lord would like use those moments of us like exalting to Him, that He actually like still blesses us through that too. And so those are, I don't know, those are like big takeaways that I have just even, you know, from the last several years.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, from time to time, I invite another person to come in as a part of the interview. This time I'm inviting in Tyson. He's our worship leader at our T campus. Tyson's been on staff here for years now. Someone that I just like look up to and respect in so many ways. But Tyson, I'm gonna kick it to you for a question.
Yeah. Mac, I'm sure you've been through seasons like this, maybe time and time again in all your years of leading worship, but I feel like it's easy at times to sort of get sucked into like the mechanics of what it takes to be a worship leader, like the day-to-day stuff, the week-to-week stuff.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes I forget to leave room to be creative and go after goals that I've set for myself. And so I just wrote this down here. What are some intentional things you've done to keep growing yourself and reaching personal goals as a worship leader?
Yeah, that's such a good point for like anybody that's like on church staff, because Sunday's always coming. And it is so easy. It's so easy to get in that mindset of like, what do I need to do to make sure Sunday's good? And what are the, you know, just the short-term goals that I have to make sure I'm good to go for this weekend.
Yep.
And for me, what I started learning is like, I really had to, because I definitely hit those moments just in, you know, being on staff at a church where you get really close to burnout because you're just going. You're not filling your tank. You're not being, you know, doing the things that like even energize you or inspire you. And thankfully I realized like once you hit that burnout zone, it's hard to come back. But I got to a place where I was like really, really close and I caught it before I kind of crossed that line of like no return. And the thing for me that I just realized, like I have to be hyper, hyper intentional with my calendar, with my time, and really protective of the things that inspire me and energize me. You know, whether it is like songwriting or whether it's just making sure I got good time with my kids, good time with my wife. And we became vigilant about our calendar. Cause even now, you know, I'm not on staff at a church now, but our calendars are crazy and the flow of life is crazy. You heard me talk about all the things that Meredith's got going on. And so like trying to manage that together, it's just easy to get in that survival mode. And so we got in the zone of like, me and her are very intentional with like sitting down with our calendar, making sure we're on the same page, making sure we know what's going on, but then putting stuff on the calendar, like, this is the day that, you know, we're going to, I mean, it can be like a date night, but it can also just be like, this is the day that we're just going to sit home and watch Shark Tank at the house. You know, like it could be as like basic as that. But I just learned I have to be a person that is just hyper. I know I keep using the word, but hyper intentional with my calendar. And so if I want to write, if I want to have a season of like writing or like go through, I don't know, like a goal, like even this, I've got a new record coming out. And it took me looking at the calendar and saying like, all right, in August, this is when I'm going to record my record. I'm going to put it on the calendar and then I'll reverse engineer like how I'm going to make it happen. You know, this is when I got to have the demos due. This is, you know, like, but having those big goals and setting it down and then figuring out like how I'm going to make it happen, that's just what works for me. And so that's what I kind of challenge people is like, you really take control of like your calendar, take control of your time, even if for the big things, but also for just like the little things that energize you or the little things that you need to make sure like you're filled up so that you're not always running on like depletion and empty.
Yeah. Yeah, just thanks for the reminder that the intentionality in that is so important. And even my wife the other day was like, she had this, you know, this moment of like, I could tell she was about to say something real smart, you know, because she had this like light bulb moment. She's like, we should share a calendar. And I was like, how in the world would we ever do that? So
out of the calendar. But even that, it's so funny, you know, I don't know. I've just learned like, it's fun being spontaneous and it's fun to like say like, hey, like, let's go out tonight. Or let's like do this tonight, which I always like stuff like that. I like to be spontaneous, but I just also realized for our lifestyle, for what we're kind of set up to do, we don't have a lot of room for that, you know? And so if I relied on that, And I think too, in like ministry, man, like y'all probably feel this, it really is easy to just like put your head down and just do it and just like, you know, just work hard and make it happen. Don't complain and just like get it done, you know? And then weeks will go by and you're like, man, like I haven't had like just like a quiet time with my wife in 3 weeks, or I haven't like done anything out of the ordinary with my kids in a month. You know, it's just so easy to get in that rut that I've just had to be like, hey, let's put on the calendar, you know, even if something as simple as like, we try like every month to have at least like one memory making thing with our kids that's out of the ordinary, you know, and we try to just like put it on the calendar when we can. And sometimes that's just like going for a walk around the neighborhood or like going like exploring in the woods. Sometimes it's going to the zoo. I don't know what it might be, but like, we just try to put that stuff down and then like, just like make sure that those times are sacred and valuable.
That's so good, Mac. Mac, for you personally, when I think about worship leaders, I'm going to generalize big time. I don't think structured or like kind of intentional. Is that something that comes natural for you? Are you an Enneagram 3 achiever? Like, share that part of just how you're wired.
I'm a 9. I always tested for a 3. So for the longest time, I always thought I was that achiever. But then, you know, with the Enneagram, like the more you just study or learn about it, I was like, oh no, like 9 is very much who I am. As far as like the structure, and that didn't come natural to me. I kind of just could go with it and keep things kind of like loosely connected in my brain somehow. Like, this is what I need to get done. So it's like a skill that I had to learn, you know, and I had to learn it from a place of like, I'm not going to survive if I don't take control of this. And if I don't take control of like my schedule and what I'm devoting my time to, things became so like fleeting and just kind of that week to week or season to season, whatever it might be, a lot going on. I had to learn to get structured.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Faithful Counseling. I just got to ask, is there something currently interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? For many of us, that can be anxiety, depression, fear, or even broken relationships. But this is where Faithful Counseling comes in. Faithful Counseling is a worldwide counseling service that makes professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so that anyone facing life's challenges can get help anytime, anywhere. Faithful Counseling offers 4 different ways to get connected to a licensed counselor. You can sit down for video calls, phone calls, live chat, or instant messaging. Every counselor at Faithful Counseling is licensed and has over 3,000 hours of experience. If you think Faithful Counseling is for you, you can sign up today and be matched with your counselor in 24 hours or less. Faithful Counseling can help us to live our healthiest lives in the comfort and safety of our homes. Be sure to check out Faithful Counseling at faithfulcounseling.com/theconversation. Again, that's faithfulcounseling.com/theconversation. Now, back to the show.
So you got an album coming out November 20th. You want to tell us about that? Where did it come from? What's your hope? Kind of what's the heartbeat of that?
Yeah. So new record coming out. It's called Space. And yeah, it's a record we recorded back in August, and we kind of did it. It was like a live experience where, you know, we just kind of took an afternoon, and instead of like, you know, recording every song a couple of times and capturing it, like, we treated it like this is just like a, like, let's just like worship together. Let's just have this moment without a crowd. you know, that was the one thing that was missing. But I did it. Everybody that's involved with this project are people that have been in my life for years and at different variations of my life. Whether it was the musicians or the people in production or the people in the video team, like, they were all like just really close people to me. And so it felt, I don't know, it felt very much like a family thing. Like, even though we're not in this church, you know, worship experience, like we're just in this room together and we're just like going to go after it for the afternoon. And so this record is just like a capture of that. A lot of these songs are just songs that I think capture just even a lot of like the season that I'm in, you know, the season that we've all been in like the last year. Most of these songs were written over Zoom during, you know, after the world shut down, a lot of them were. And so a big theme of this album is, you know, the reason why I called it Space is because I just want to remind people that there's always space with Jesus. There's always, you know, whatever we've got that we're walking through, what, you know, talking earlier about like being in the valley, whatever baggage that we're carrying, whatever just kind of heavy weights of life that we're constantly like on our shoulders. Just a reminder to people that like we serve a God and we have a relationship with a person that wants to take all that from us. And there's never, he will always have space for that. He'll always have space for you exactly where you're at, exactly what you're carrying. There's always space for that. And I wanted this record to be a reminder to me of we're not always on the mountaintop. Sometimes we are in the valley, but we're never alone in the valley. And we're never without a God that is walking with us. And so most of the songs kind of deal, or a lot of the songs, I think, deal with that. I'm excited about it. It's probably one of the most special projects that I, just from songwriting perspective to just even like the capture, the day that we captured it was just so special to me. It was such a, like a tender thing to me that just poured a lot into this project and I'm really pumped on it.
That's great. Is there a specific song for you that on the album that is a heart cry for you or no? Like, is there one?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple. There's a song that I'm releasing before the album comes out called Your Presence is a Promise. And it's a song that I've come back. It's a song that I actually started writing, I don't know, probably 3 years ago. And just that idea is so encouraging to me that, like, you know, we talk a lot about the presence of God, but it's like actually something that he's promised us. It's like a gift that like, that he's not going to take away. And it is always there. And the chorus, it's kind of saying like, you know, basically the chorus says like the stars, you will shine brighter with the night. Even in the darkness, your presence is a promise. And that's such a good reminder to me that like when it's darkest is when the stars shine the brightest. And so I want to be reminded that like, even if I'm walking through the muck right now, like even if I'm like feeling so overwhelmed or stressed or anxiety is taking over, I can just like breathe in, exhale, and remember that like, that's when like the Lord is like doing his thing. You know, that's when I can just like really trust, man, like God is here. God is moving. I can trust that he's working. And I can release that to him, you know? And that's not to say that it's all going to go away. That's not to say that, like, I don't know. I battle with that. I battle with those, like, anxious thoughts. Or I battle with stress or battle with, like, man, like, what, you know, what is going on? How can I get over this hump or whatever? But, man, having, like, weapons to use to fight against that is so helpful. And so a lot of these songs are those weapons for me.
Oh, that's so good. Mac, one of the things I appreciate about your music is really sharing from like standing on God's promises, but also sharing from like, hey, right now this is a hard season. It does feel dark. For me personally, I always look up to people who have been through some trials and valleys. It's one of the things I love about Lisa Turkhurst. I don't know her personally or what she's been through, but Shelley Giglio, every time I read a post of hers, you can tell that she's experienced pain and trials. I mean, you can just feel like she's not just posting a cute post. You've been through it. For yourself personally, and share what you want to share. But has there been, like, it's easy to ask about your success and your highlight show, But has there been a time or two, like valley wise, that you'd be willing to share, like, man, this was hard to go through, and what you kind of learned about God through that time?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's such a, at least in my experience in life, I can only speak to that, is, you know, I think in the Christian space, we talk a lot about seasons. Seasons is such like a good word for us. Yeah. And sometimes it feels like it gets overused, but it's just, sometimes that's just the best way to describe it. And it feels like an ebb and flow. And when I look at my life, I don't feel like I'm ever on the mountain very long or in the valley very long. Like, I feel like it's like very much like just like a wave that kind of like comes and goes, you know? And so when I look at, you know, some of the things that just I can talk about, like, that have like overcome my spirit, that feels like overwhelming. You know, I've always, my whole life, been like a very chill, you know, this is a 9 thing, chill, don't rock the boat. Like, everything's good. Like, I'm a positive person. I like, you know, I can see the good in every situation, whatever. And late in life, when I started battling with like anxious thoughts and anxiety, I didn't honestly really even know where that was coming from, or what, you know, what that was, how that was happening. And I think even, you know, for me, even when I became a dad, my son is 9. When I became a dad, I started wrestling with this like crazy anxiety and feeling like I was losing control, or like that I had no control. I'm somebody that likes to know what's going on. I'm a planner. I'm a, like, here's the goals. Here's what we're doing. And when all that feels like it went out the window, just from being a parent to where you have no control, it was like really terrifying for me. Then to step into a season where the Lord called us to step away from the church that we had been planted in for 10 years, and to like kind of step away from just what I had poured my life into to try to build this thing and to give everything I had to this thing. And for the Lord to ask us to like, let it go. That was a really, I mean, that was something I did not want to let go. Like, I was holding on tight, you know, and ultimately was able to release it before the Lord had to like pry it from my hands. I think that he probably would have. But that was like, that's a hard thing. And that's like very, talking about wanting control, man, like when you step into, like when we stepped off staff at Elevation, I didn't have like a plan B of like, this is what I want to do. And so I'm stepping off staff to go pursue my dreams. Like, I was in what I thought our dreams were. And so to step outside of that and to just wander and to feel like we're in this like unknown season in this valley of this desert, it carries a lot of like anxiety, you know, and it carries a lot of like, what's going on? What am I doing? Where are we going? And I've just had to learn, man, like to bring all that to God, to be honest with it, to not sweep it under the rug, or not to even like pretend like that it's not there, but to just bring it to the Lord and to bring it to my wife and to say like, hey, here's what I'm feeling. Like, here's where I'm at, just so you know. And it's through those like relational conversations and through, you know, conversations, like I said, like with my wife, but also conversations with the Lord, that he calms my spirit and gives me, you know, just that peace. And I've always described it as like, I'm like under this umbrella of peace from the Lord, you know? And so there's all this stuff that can kind of like be banging down, but I have this like peace over my spirit being under that umbrella. And then just occasionally, for whatever dumb reason, I'll choose to like look out from the umbrella and just get pelted, you know, pelted with that rain and with that, like, you know, all those thoughts, you know, anxiousness, FOMO, whatever it might be. And I have to choose to just like, okay, let's move back under that umbrella, because like there is so much peace in just walking with where, you know, like the Lord has called you. There's so much peace in like obedience and peace and just, I don't know, saying yes when the Lord tells you to do something. But that's not to say it doesn't come with its fair share of second guessing or anxiousness or uncertainty.
Yeah. Mac, I really appreciate you sharing honestly. It kind of just one last, like, do you still feel that from time to time? Can I ask?
Oh, for sure. It's like, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, every season, every step of the way, like I was talking to my wife not too long ago about this, of like, just when we even look at our marriage, and we've been married almost 15 years now, we're both like very much planners, and we're both very much like goal oriented, ambitious. Here's what we want to do. Here's where we want to go. But when I look at the landscape of our marriage, man, God is, he doesn't give us that 10-year plan. He hasn't given us even that like 2-year plan. There's been so many times where it's just like, no, just say yes and then wait. Just say yes and then wait. You know, I'll reveal it to you one step at a time. And a lot of times it feels like, this is such a silly example. Have you ever seen that movie Arrival with the aliens?
I haven't, no.
Oh, okay. It's so stupid. Okay, that's a bad example. Anyway,
It sounds amazing.
There are these, it's the best imagery that I can use, where it's these big aliens, and they're looking at them through this big glass. It's like this big glass plane, but these aliens are living in this like fog. But they're so big that you can kind of see that there's a presence there, but you can't see any detail about them until they get like really, really, really close to the glass. And as silly as that sounds, like that's a lot of the times the way that I see just even our walk with the Lord is, it's like, okay, I see this big thing that we're walking towards. Yes, that. It's a great movie. You should check it out.
It sounds fantastic and terrifying. Keep going though.
Well, but that's the way that I've seen like so much of like being obedient to God is like, I see this big blurry image of like what we're supposed to walk towards, but I don't know any of the details about what it is until I start walking. And then I get closer, I see a little bit more detail. Then sometimes it'll go back further in and it's foggy again. All that to say is that when you don't know the details and you're a detail-oriented person, it definitely carries its fair share of like anxiety and, well, shoot, like, okay, I think I'm being obedient, or I think I'm supposed to do this, but I don't even know what this looks like. How is this going to translate? Where are we going to be in 2 months? Where are we going to be next year? I still battle that need for control and relinquishing control like all the time. Almost, I mean, it's almost like a daily thing for me of like having to like let go. Like, all right, Lord, I'm moving forward. I'm stepping forward, but I'm having to release this to you.
Yeah. Mac, thanks for the honesty. So I'm a 3, and really like the last couple of years, I just feel like I haven't had like what direction am I supposed to run right now? Like, I just want like God just to tell me where the finish line's at.
I would love to know where the finish line is at.
Tell me where the finish line is and I'll go for it. You know, like,
right.
And right. Almost annoyingly, just even in the last month, God's just been like, just seek me. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But where's the finish line? Just seek me.
Right.
And it's like, no, like I know I got sweet. That's perfect. Like, I know, okay, Jesus is the answer. But like, yeah, in that time, it can like, I think for me, it's so hard to trust God in those moments.
And I think sometimes it even comes from a genuine place of like, I don't want to be aimless. You know, I want to know what I'm working towards, and I don't want to just like wander. And that's not even like a bad thing to want, you know, like it's not a bad thing to not want to be aimless. But I think what I've been learning is that just saying yes and just saying, I trust you and I'm just gonna keep walking. Just the fact of you doing that is aim, you know, and that's a goal and that's a thing to embrace.
That's good. Last question, which is a little bit of a curveball.
So I'm passionate personally about adoption. My sister's South Korean, and then I have, out of my four kids, I have an African son. And you, I know, you're currently fostering a child. How did that come about? Was fostering something you guys wanted to do? Maybe share like, one positive and one hard part of fostering.
So we just got licensed back in April, before the world, right when the world was shutting down. And then we just, our foster son came to live with us in July. We've had him since then. He's an 8-month-old little dude. And, you know, for us, it was something, I don't know, like the Lord started planting that little seed, started in my wife's heart. I was pretty resistant at first. And what I've kind of learned through the process is I realized like, man, like I had a really distorted view of fostering, just even that phrase, like foster care. I think that the only thing I knew about it was from like Annie, you know, the little orphan Annie, or just like other TV shows or movies or whatever. And it carried this like really negative connotation, like in my just subconscious. And it wasn't until I just kind of, I don't know, started like learning about it and learning like just even like the massive need that there is for kids to have a safe place, you know, and for kids to have a safe place and for their parents to have a safe space to get healthy and to, you know, cause that's the goal of fostering is to reconcile with, you know, the birth family. And so we started pursuing that back about a year ago, back in November of 2019, went through kind of the training and, it just even through that, you know, even the training aspect of it was just such a learning experience for me. And I think one thing that I always like to, I don't know, just like plant the seed for people when it comes to like foster care is, or at least I can just speak for myself, is one, I think that when we do say yes to things that seem outside of our comfort zone or even say yes to things that seem outside of our bandwidth, you know, like me and my wife both live, we have crazy jobs. We're both traveling all the time. We don't work like normal schedules. So how are we even going to do this? But I think when we say yes to the things that like the Lord is passionate about, he expands our bandwidth and he expands our capacity. And we've seen that in a tangible way, just even the last several months that our foster son has lived with us is like, it hasn't been this overwhelming thing, you know? Yeah. That's not to say it's not hard. That's not to say it doesn't come with, you know, waking up at 4:30 in the morning to, you know, to feed him and, to, you know, just that being back in the baby zone is like crazy for me.
No,
but
no,
but man, but the capacity for it grows, you know? And so I don't know, it's been really special for our family and we've just been, I don't know, we're in love with this little guy and it's been cool to see just even my kids love him. And I was worried about that, you know, from our attention was now divided, how they were going to handle that. And even that's just been really special.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And also just thank you for challenging. I'd encourage anybody who's listening to look into fostering, to look into adoption. It's not for everybody. There's really hard aspects of it, even behavioral issues. That are really, really hard, but I just encourage anybody to look into that. Mac,
one of the things, just real quick, just to add to that, like one of the things that I learned is like you learn what you're capable of, and you learn like, and just even like from a fostering perspective is we learn like our limits, you know, like we kind of like learn like, okay, like this is like what I feel like we can say yes to. Just even the fact that we have a 5-year-old daughter. And we knew like, all right, I don't think we're ready to be able to foster someone that's older than 5. You know, we kind of, and just even given, I think that there's like freedom in like being honest with yourself and like knowing, hey, this is what we're capable of. And this is like what I think we could do. And I think that that's just like freeing for a lot of people to hear, because when you say like yes to going down the path of like foster parenting, that doesn't mean like you're saying yes to every single kid that needs help in this moment. You know, like there are a lot of people there, and there are a lot of people to help, and there are a lot of people, you know, that can like step up in areas that you might not be qualified or you might not be capable of. But knowing like we can all say yes to something. There's always something that like we can give of ourselves. And so I think just even like realizing our limitations or realizing like what we could and couldn't do and being honest with that really gave us a lot of freedom when we started this process.
That's such a good word. I think that's something people don't know kind of going into adoption or fostering is the ability to set some of that. Cause we felt the same way when we adopted our son. Where is he from? He's from Ethiopia.
Okay. I have two nephews from Ethiopia.
Oh yeah. And it's amazing. He's now a sixth grader. I love the kid, like crazy, but going into adoption though, we knew that we wanted our oldest son to remain our oldest. I don't even know what it was, but just was like, gosh, I just feel like he's supposed to stay the oldest. And cause we kind of learned with him and like just figured out how to, you know, parent a 2-year-old.
Yep.
That was one of the things we set was like, hey, we just want to make sure the child's younger than our oldest son. And I think people going into it don't know that there's those types of things that you can say or specify. And that's such a good.
And it's just so easy. It's so easy to build a laundry list of like the reasons why you shouldn't pursue something.
Yes.
It's just too easy. You know, it's just, and I'd say that from experience. Like when we first started talking about it, I'm the person that says, all right, well, it won't work because of my job. It won't work because of your job. It won't work because, you know, we've got two young kids already. Like I'm the person that goes through all the lists of all the reasons why this is a bad idea. And so I've just learned a lot through striking off some of those things.
Yeah, that's so good. Mac, thank you so much. If you're listening, go pre-order the new album. It comes out November 20th called Space. Mac, I just need to thank you as a dad. So my son is an eighth grader and is passionate about worship. And literally he learned how to lead and how to play guitar from songs that you had written. So thank you.
Oh, I love saying that.
I saw
a post on your Instagram of him playing on the worship team not too long ago.
Yeah.
It was his first weekend.
Yeah.
That's special.
Oh, I feel like sometimes I'm like, are you my pastor or am I your pastor? Like what's going on here?
I love it.
It's pretty cool that your own son can lead you in worship and just genuinely thank you. I mean, it was legitimately your songs that you learned to sing on. And so thanks for just not even pouring into myself and Tyson, but also my oldest. But Mac, thank you for the time today. Just a huge honor having you on the podcast.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks for listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.